Thank you, Pastor. Well, it's great to be back. How many of you miss me? All right, three. Excellent. Okay, good. How many of you miss my wife? 73. Okay, that's usually the way it goes. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. Man, what a great time we had with the couples. Excellent, excellent time. Great couples here. What an exciting church. I'm sure you're hearing that often, but I'm traveling all over Canada, the United States, and your church has got something going on. I love it. You can see the work of the Lord here. You've got a lot of young couples, great young people, sharp-looking young people. There's even one good-looking guy in this church. That's excellent. Most churches don't have that. You got one, barely, but you got one, and that's exciting. The girls here are just thrilled at the potential of maybe one guy. I don't think so, but anyways, we're going to have a great time. I hope you'll come all week. I am begging God for revival. If there was ever a time when we needed to see a shakeup in our nations, and I say our nations, it is now. And I believe that we are in a prime time for revival. This is the kind of setting where God has moved and passed, and I believe he could move now. I believe that the coming of the Lord is very soon. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. That wasn't good enough. Amen. There you go. I'm going to get you to respond a little bit. You got to help me out, okay? Or I'm going to put a 25% tariff tax on you. So, and I can. And that's right. That's right. We're going to take it off, though. Don't worry. We love you. We love you. And we'll work it all out. We're going to have a hockey game, and whoever wins gets all the tariffs. Oh, no, we already did that. We'll have some fun. I hope you'll come. I'm going to be preaching today to the Christians and Monday, but Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to speak to the lost as well. So if you have friends that aren't saved, if you can get them to come, I promise you, they will hear a clear gospel presentation. That doesn't mean they'll get saved, but they'll have the gospel. Then it'll be up to you to water and nurture that which they hear and hopefully see some people saved. And I'm so excited that we're here, and Ruthie's here, and she'll raise her hand for me if she would. She's right there in the middle. She'll be singing in the choir this morning. When I left pastoring 5 years ago, I was ready to move on to the next phase of what God had for me, but my wife wasn't quite there yet. And one of the hardships for her was that she travels with me. That's the hardship. She's with me. And the hardship is that she doesn't get to sing as much as she used to at home and play the piano as much. And so whenever we come to a church, I ask the pastor if he'd be kind enough to let her sing. And she's got a phenomenal voice. And she's going to sing with the choir today. So she's excited about that. I'm excited about that. And it'll just be a great blessing for all. And then we do have our friends here with us. The Pipes are here, Dave and Pat Pipes. These are the first folks that we led to Christ when we went to St. Thomas 35 years ago. And we met him in a prenatal class. We learned how to have a baby together. And that really helped us. We can all breathe together. We learned the technique of having a baby. We didn't do that. We never used that. My wife used the breathing method. That worked really good. It was awesome. And I ate a hamburger. So it was really good. Good training. Helped us out. The theme for this revival time, and by the way, we can't produce revival. You know that, right? We can't just magically, mystically have it appear. But we certainly can find out what's needed in order to have revival, and that's what I'm hoping to give to you. I've dedicated myself in my preaching to try to make my preaching as practical as I possibly can. I want to give you things that you can use, that you can take with you, that would maybe help us come to that great awakening. We need an awakening. And the great revivals of past were called an awakening. And I believe that the church is asleep today. I believe that we have drifted off into a deep sleep. Many churches, not necessarily yours, but churches as a whole across our nations have become very comfortable. We came through that terrible, terrible time of COVID, and man, things were turmoiled, and it kind of shook us up a little bit, and everybody responded, and then we kind of lull back to sleep again. Kind of like after 9/11, when those planes hit those trade towers. I mean, we as a world were shook. Canada was shook. I've never seen so many American flags flying in our country as after that, as a show of support for what had happened. And we thought, man, churches are going to be packed and people are going to come to Christ and the world is awakened. And, you know, for a short time that happened, but then we lulled back into that sleep. It's time to get waken up. It's time to be shaken up. And I hope that through these lessons and messages that we'll be able to do that. So I want to look this morning at the preeminence of prayer when it comes to revival. Having spent about 2 years studying the great revivals of past, I quickly identified some key elements in all revivals that seemed imperative to revival coming. Unfortunately, few of those exist in our churches today. And even more, unfortunately, fewer who are willing to pay the price of revival. Did you know there's a price? There's some things that we have to do, be willing to do, if we are going to see revival. And it takes something. And many today, I find, are not prepared to pay that kind of price. I hope this morning that somebody will leave here and say, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to do what needs to be done so that revival might come, not only to this church, this city, this state, this country, but I hope it spills over the borders and that we might see it in Canada as well. We say we want revival, but few respond when the cost is revealed. I'm going to ask you in this revival to make an open and public declaration that you're going to do something for the cause of revival. I'm going to ask you to come in an invitation time and ask you to bow before the Lord and say, I'm ready. I mean, if we can't say to the Lord in church, I'm ready to do what needs to be done, we're in big trouble. And so I'm praying that God will move us, the Holy Spirit moves freely amongst us. And I want to say this, first of all, that the Holy Spirit, though we'll speak of him, is really the key element for us today. He lives within us. He empowers us. He gives us that connection to our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ the Son. He's the one that begins to move in those revivals, first in the Christian and then in the lost. We often think that revival is just lost people getting saved, but that's not it. It's Christians being renewed in their faith and in their walk for Christ and an absence of sin in their lives. But perhaps there's even one here who might be willing to pay that price, that we might see God sweep across his congregation and nation in a spirit of revival. The first and absolute most important aspect of all is prayer. I'm going to ask the guys to bring up a picture, and as I read this report, I want you to see some people that brought revival in the Hebrides Islands. Do we have that picture, guys? Can we bring that up, of those ladies? Do we have that? Okay, 1 minute. He's going to find that. Shane is fired. Okay, listen to this amazing. No way, that guy's gold, man. I love that guy. Peggy and Christine Smith, two elderly sisters who lived in a small cottage on the Isle of Lewis in Scottish Hebrides, are credited with sparking a powerful spiritual revival in their area through the fervent prayer of these two ladies in the 1940s. Now, where do you see them? One is blind and the other is severely crippled. And in that picture, you'll see the preacher that God used to deliver the messages. You may be shocked to know that he wasn't an independent fundamental Baptist. We don't have a market on revival. I hope you know that. I would like to think that if there is a people who do want revival and do want to see it, it's the independent Baptists of this country and our country, of the world. These two ladies and this preacher brought revival. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at that, I think, really? Really? That's who brought revival. It's not some big evangelist with the slick hair and the nice tie, and it's not a massive church full of people. No, it's two little ladies who had a burden. Listen to this. Peggy was blind and Christine had severe arthritis, which prevented them from attending church regularly. So they prayed intensely in their home, leading to a widespread revival across the islands. On Tuesdays and Fridays, they got on their knees at 10 in the evening. At 10, look how old they are, 10 in the evening. And remained there until 3 or 4 in the morning. Two older ladies in a very humble cottage. Then Peggy had a vision of the church crowded with young people. Can I tell you that the reason they were praying, why they were so concerned, there was an absence of young people in the church. They were down to very few, if not none, in the church. And they were so burdened that the church was going to pass away in spiritual death because of no young people. I want you to know, you've got some young people here. This is fantastic. God bless you for being here. I'm excited by you being here. But can I tell you today, in this city, as I've driven around the last few days, this entire section could be filled by young people who need Christ. Young people who are searching and looking. young people who need to know Jesus Christ. Across our nations, we're seeing young people who are given over to drugs and alcohol and immorality and all kinds of things. And many are now beginning to live on the streets, and we see their minds messed up by all the things of this life and all the substances they use. And we're upset by that, we're burdened by that, but yet we're not seeing anything changed by that. And so these ladies were praying that young people would come to church, and she has this vision of the church full with young people, and they persuaded their minister to call a session or a service or a session of series, a series of services. Seven men covenanted not to give rest or peace to the Almighty until he made their Jerusalem a praise in this earth. Seven men, inspired by two older ladies, began to pray, began to beg God that he would do something in their church by some great movement of God upon them. I wonder, are you ready to pay that cost? Do we have some people that would say, listen, I'm going to pray a couple times a week. I'm going to pray at an inconvenient time. I'm going to pray and let God know I'm serious about this. It's not just Heavenly Father bless his food and may we see revival. Amen. That's not it. It's going to God and saying, God, our nation is in trouble. Our young people are in trouble. Our families are in trouble. Oh, God, we pray that we might see this city. And your city is so much like our St. Thomas. Your church is so much our church about 15, 20 years ago. And man, we did see God do great things. In fact, so great that we were able to reach our entire nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ through those John and Romans, a church about your size that reached the nation. Hey, listen, your church is endeavoring on that same course, and I'm glad to help you with that, to reach America with the gospel. But listen, it's not going to do any good if we don't bathe that in prayer. Those men also began to meet on Tuesdays and Friday nights for months. So who's ready to pay that part of the price? What is it about prayer that moves the heart of God to receive his people and move the Holy Spirit to bring what seems a greater conviction to the Christian and to the lost? What is it? I mean, we prayed this morning. We'll pray again in the morning service. We prayed this morning. We've been blessed to have as friends the Oilers, and we've stayed at their place many times, and we're staying there this week. And before they leave the house, they always gather and they pray together. We prayed this morning that God would do something in this service. What is it that makes that final breakthrough and that allows God to move upon us in a special way that we see revival? I want to look at this morning. I want to begin with the purpose of prayer. I think until we understand these things, we're not going to really understand what prayer is and how effective it is in our lives. Why do we pray if God already knows everything? Did you ever hear that question? I've heard that question many times. Why do we pray if God already knows? He already knows what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, 5 days from now, 5 years from now, 5,000 years from now. God knows. So why does he call us to pray? Why do we have to say, God, help us? We don't know what tomorrow brings. He already knows. But he tells us to. Does prayer change God's plan? Why do we sometimes pray and it seems God does not hear or listen? Pretty common questions, eh? So what is the purpose of prayer? Would you look at Luke chapter 11, and then we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 6 if you want to begin thumbing back over that way. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, and then Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Verse 1 of Luke 11 says this, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." Would you say that with me? Teach us to pray. Come on, say it with me. Teach us to pray. Nice and loud. Teach us to pray. Have you ever asked God to teach you how to pray? I've never done that. My pastor taught me how to pray. My parents taught me how to pray. My Sunday school teacher taught me how to pray. But I've never said, God, would you teach me to pray? I don't think that'd be a bad thing for us. I don't think that'd be bad at all. My grandchildren are, some of them are at that early age. Miles is our youngest. We call him Smiles because you just can't help but smile when you look at the kid. He's just a great kid, and he's so clumsy. He falls down, hits his head. The other day, he's going out the door. His brother slammed the door, turned his nail black and blue. On the ice the other day, falls back, hits his head. Just a clumsy little kid, but man, he's awesome. So much like his Nana. And so, not true. But he's learning how to talk, and I'm fascinated how we learn to talk as a people, how we go through that process and learn things. And he's not talking very well. He says, bye, bye. That's about it. And I'll say, hey, Miles, go over there and get that quarter for me. He'll walk right over, pick up the quarter, bring it to me. He can't say it, but he understands it. I think it's a lot of church people. He gets it, but he can't communicate. And so maybe we need to, in that light, say, God, teach us to talk to you so that you can understand us and we understand you. I mean, they were pretty devout Jews, these guys that are asking the question. He goes on and says, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus says, here's an example of prayer. This is not the prayer. I have some people that have in past been upset because I didn't say the Lord's Prayer. I was at a funeral one time. Lady got very upset with me. You didn't say the Lord's Prayer. I said, ma'am, I prayed from my heart. I prayed directly to God. I spoke something that would commune to all of us. Well, I wanted to say the Lord's Prayer. I said, you can say it anytime you want, but maybe you don't have to say just the Lord's Prayer. It's just an example of prayer. God's saying, hey, here's a model. Here's something you can follow. Here's some things that you ought to think about when you pray. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. A little bit different, but still the same. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Jesus again speaking, if you have a red letter edition of your Bible, anytime you see red, that's the words of Christ. It says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And amen means closure and accepted. So when you say amen in church, you're saying, I've got it, I got it, right? So here's Jesus teaching his disciples. Well-versed men, men who knew the Bible, men who were raised in a culture to pray. I mean, the devout Jews prayed, I'm sure, but when Jesus prayed, something really happened. Maybe before you found Jesus Christ as your Savior, you did pray. You went to church and prayed. You're in the hospital and prayed. People had need and you prayed. And it just seemed like nothing happened. Then you got saved. Then you knew Christ. And by the way, if you're here today and you're not saved, you're not going to experience this until you are. Then something happens. These men had heard the priests pray. They'd heard the scribes pray. They'd heard the Pharisees pray. But nothing really happened. When Jesus prayed, something happened. You ever been in those meetings and somebody gets up to pray and it's like, wow. That was something. When I was a kid, and I encourage you guys and girls today, when I was a kid, about 12, 13 years old, my pastor asked me to come to the prayer meeting that our men had in our church before service. He kind of took it from the great preacher Spurgeon. He used to have people pray in the furnace room during the service, and he thought, that's the power room. That's where I want men to pray. So my pastor met in the furnace room of our church with about 8 or 10 men from our church that were deacons and other seasoned veterans, and we crammed in that little room, sat on those chairs, and some of the guys would kneel and some would sit, and he invited me to come, and I thought, I'm going to go, and I said to my buddies, hey, let's go, and they're like, I'm not going to pray with a bunch of old guys. And so I went, and boy, those guys began to pray. I'd never heard them pray like that. I mean, they prayed in the service, Heavenly Father, bless the offering they were about to take, and may it be used to your glory. Amen. I heard them pray at the mealtime, but these guys were praying. Oh, God, we pray power upon our pastor. We pray that you'll move amongst us. And, God, we look for the Holy Spirit's evident presence today. And, God, I pray that you'll rain down. I was like, wow, they were praying. We had a guy in our church, his name was Lauren Clark, one of the sweetest people you'd ever meet in your life. He's gone home to be with the Lord. He and his wife, Carol, really, really were Bearing Precious Seed Canada. They were at our facility every day for over 20 years. They came and put John Aromas together. They packed them. They mailed them. They just loved that service. In fact, we named our facility after them, and they loved the Lord. And Brother Clark was a deacon. He'd come forward and have them pray for the offering. And he would stand at the front of the church and say, Brother Warren, would you pray? And he'd do this. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today. He'd wait a long period of time, every time. So I finally went to him because it's awkward, right? It's awkward. Let's pray. Awkward. Brother Clark, why do you pause like that? He said, Pastor, when I get ready to pray, I envision myself going into the throne room of God, and I see him sitting upon the throne, and I see myself humbly kneeling before him and offering my petition, and when I'm in that place, then I feel I'm ready to pray. I thought, man, this preacher's about this big. Wow. I never thought to do that. When he prayed, he was moving. The purpose of prayer is revealed to us in Christ's instruction on prayer. It aligns us with who we are in sight of an almighty God. Our Father, we're the children. It reminds us the magnitude of our God, which art in heaven. It prepares us to understand just who we address. Hallowed be thy name. It puts into perspective what's really important. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It allows us an understanding of what we have and by whom. Give us this day our daily bread. It forces us to confront our frailty. Forgive us our debts. First, our sin, and then we'll deal with others. It draws our attention to the power of sin, Satan, and our Savior. Lead us not and deliver us. It makes clear who really is in control in our lives when we pray. Our Father, I need help. Our Father, I'm a sinner. But our Father, I realize that when you and I are connected together in a right place, there is a power that comes to me that allows me to do your work and your will, your way in this place. Let me ask us this morning, how many of us feel right now that the power of God could be lighted upon us so that revival might come to this entire church, this entire city, this entire community around us, this entire state, this entire country? How many of us today say, I'm walking with the Lord, I'm so in tune with the Lord, I feel that could happen right now? I don't think any of us would raise our hands. Until we get to a place where we have that kind of burden, we have that kind of desire, I don't believe we'll really see revival. Get this, prayer allows us opportunity to seek God's will and to be able to accept that will when it does not align with our request. I got a call one time to go to the hospital, and they said, Pastor, would you come? Our loved one is dying, and boy, we just need a miracle of God. Could you come and pray with us? And they said, okay. And they said, would you pray that God would heal our loved one? And so I, as a young preacher, young man, I said, Heavenly Father, we're here today. We believe you have all power. You're the great physician. And we're praying and asking today that you do a miracle upon this person, and God, that you lift them up out of this bed. 2 days later, they passed away. And the family came to me and said, Pastor, we prayed. You prayed. The man of God talked to God, and he died. I thought God answered prayer. And I learned very quickly that our prayers sometimes are not directed in the right direction. From that point on, I learned to pray this, Heavenly Father, our will. We're begging from our hearts today that you lift this person up out of this place, that they might walk and commune with us and serve you. God, we earnestly pray that today. But if that's not your will, help us to accept your will with mercy and grace, that we might go on and know that your way is better than our way. That's the right way to pray. Because I don't know God's will. I don't know what his plan is. That person could have lived another 10 years and had the worst 10 years of their life. They could have come up with that hospital and been a great reproach to the things of Christ. I've got to say, God, here's my will. Here's what I want. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I tell them all the time. I have physical needs. I have spiritual needs. I have financial needs. I've got personal needs. God, please, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'd like. But God, if that's not your will, would you please show me? Very quickly, Holy Spirit, would you commune with me and let me know that I need to pray in a different direction? But ultimately, it's thy will be done. I see, secondly, this morning, the practice of prayer. Would you look at Matthew chapter 6? Go back just a few pages, or if you're still there, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I love that. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions like, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Okay, again, so if he already knows, why am I praying? Well, I'll tell you why. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Go back in your Bible a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, very short verse, three words, and the one that follows not much longer. You probably already know what it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, these are the words of God. This is his command to us. This is his order. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians 5:17. Let's read it together if you can. You ready? Here you go. Here it is. Pray without ceasing. Anybody that doesn't understand that, pray without ceasing. Well, some might say, does that mean I'm supposed to pray all the time, every day, all day? I don't talk to anybody else. I just talk to God. No, no, no. Pray without ceasing means you can pray all the time. You can pray anytime. You can pray anywhere, anyhow. Just talk to me. Communicate. We had a great couples retreat, and I think if I had to summarize everything that was said in the last couple days, it's learn how to communicate properly to those people that you love. That's the breakdown in most marriages. That's the breakdown in most churches. We forget to communicate. We don't talk. We assume. We think. We surmise. And pretty soon that starts to go around, and pretty soon you've got a big rift in the church. If somebody would just go and say, hey, preacher, what are you thinking here? Hey, pastor, what's the idea here? Hey, congregation, what's the idea here? We'd save ourselves a lot of trouble sometimes. And so God says, pray without ceasing. Come to me anytime, verse 18, in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The will of God is that we speak to him, knowing what we already need. Hey, listen, I've got some kids. How many of you have kids today? Awesome. How many of you have grandkids? How many would trade the kids for the grandkids, right? How many of you wish you had the grandkids first? A lot of us. You know what grandkids are? Grandkids are God's gift to you for not selling your kids to the circus. That's what it is. All right, those grandkids are awesome. But you know, I just this morning, before I came out here, I went out in the hallway and I sent a video to my grandkids. I've not seen them for several days, and I'm going to be home for just a day, and then I'm heading out for about 3 weeks. And so I said, guys, I miss you. I can't wait to see you. Poppy's going to be home for one day. We got to get together and do something. And I said, send me a video. Let me know what you're doing. My daughter posts stuff all the time on Instagram, what the kids are doing, but it's not the same. I want them to communicate with me. I want my kids to communicate with me. My son said, hey, I'm going to call you this week. Man, I was so excited. He called me and talked to me, and I got to call him yesterday and talk to him again. Man, it was so good. He's out in Nevada. He's long ways away, different time zone. It makes it tough, but we talked together. Man, it's so good as a parent to hear from your kids. And you know what? None of them said, hey, Dad, can we borrow $50? When our kids most often speak to us, they want something, don't they? Just like we want something from God. Don't make the only time that you talk to God a time that says, God, I need, I want. Say, God, I love you. I'm so glad you're my Father. Thank you for what you've given to us. We're enjoying it. And then, God, help me to do more that I might please you. Wow. We can pray at any time, anywhere, and never worry about bothering God. One of the reasons we pray is because God told us to. It's how we communicate to God, and communication is key to any and all relationships. God communicates back to us through the Holy Spirit and through the preaching and reading of his word. If you're not getting that, you're not hearing from God the way that you can. Come and hear the preaching this week. I go to a lot of churches, and Sunday morning, man, there's a great crowd. It's packed out. Sunday night, half the crowd. Monday night, half that crowd. Tuesday night, maybe a little bit more. Wednesday, up because of a service. Let's just pack this place out every night, shall we? Let's just come and hear the preaching of the Word of God. How many revival meetings do you have in a year? One. If you can make it, I know some have to work, some will have things that will interfere, but listen, watch online or do your best to be here so that we as a congregation can get together with God in this special time and maybe be motivated to say, God, I'll pay the price. I'm ready to pay the price. I want it that bad. without ceasing. Revival requires an earnest heart poured out before God. Ezra 10:1, now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. One man says, oh God, I can't take it anymore. God, our nation's in trouble. God, I'm prostrating myself here on the floor. I can't stand it. I've got to have you. I've got to see you. I've got to be moved by you. And people see and hear him and they begin to congregate and they become very emotional and they begin to weep and say, he's right. He's right. Oh God, help us. Maybe there'd be one that would come this morning in the morning service, oh God, my son is lost. Oh God, my children aren't right. Oh God, my neighbors are going to perish. Oh God, our country's in turmoil. Oh God, this world's a mess. God, we need you, and I'm not going to leave until you do something. And others would see and hear and say, yeah, he's right, she's right. Maybe it would be an older person who can barely make their way down the aisle, who'd maybe have to sit in a chair in the front row, these gentlemen getting up and giving that place where they can come and pray. Maybe the young people that are here would get excited and say, you're right, preacher. Our young friends are not where they should be. And there are people in this community that are searching for peace and hope and purpose. And we see that, and they'd be here, and they'd be begging God. And an older person would come and put their arm around that young person and say, listen, you're our hope. And I want to help you, and I want to encourage you. Let's pray together. I'll text you and remind you, and you text and remind me, and we'll get together once in a while and pray. And then we see this in the final point, the power and performance of prayer. Can I safely say that all of us know how to pray? Could I also say that perhaps not as effectively as we could, maybe not as regularly as we should? I brought a vacuum today, and I want to show you something. This is going to represent all of us and the ability that we've got. All of us have a job to do. All of us have a purpose. And God has given to us that opportunity. This machine works great. It picks up dirt, and you can see there's some already in there. Somebody's already done that. And you've got, I want to see, your buildings are immaculate. Who's ever cleaning these buildings? You're doing a great job. Bathrooms are pristine. Beautiful. So somebody's obviously using this, and I would say this morning that I'd like to contribute, I'd like to help out. And I've got this machine right here. I've never used one before. Apparently do that. There you go. Oh, it's awesome. Look at that. Man. Much better, isn't it? Wow. Whoever does this platform doesn't do a very good job, but everywhere else is pretty good. So awesome. Excellent. That's good. How many of you say I did a really good job? You're right. I didn't do anything. I mean, I'm here, I'm doing stuff. I mean, man, I'm moving, I'm going to church, and man, I'm going to school, I'm over here in the neighborhood, and traveling around, I'm going to travel up Niagara Falls, Canada. Oh, nice place. That's cool. Let's go back here, and oh, we'll go to the West Coast, and oh, Mount Rushmore, that's awesome. I'm here, I'm doing stuff, but there's nothing there. There are a lot of Christians who are here, but they really aren't doing anything. I mean, look good. Man, that's sharp. Nice, white, clean. Looks good. The shark, that's a good one. Man, that's good. I could then deduce that many of us question why we don't see God's display and more power in our lives or the function of our church and why we're not seeing revival. Could I say this, that God, when he created us, gave us a great form, gave us a great opportunity to do things. And then when we get saved, he gives us this. He gives us the ability through the Holy Spirit to connect to him. Our power source is God. And if we connect to that power source, we have the ability, we have the power to do great things. And many of us have been saved and we've been connected to the Holy Spirit. And we're so excited. Hey, we got saved. We're going to church. And wow, look what we're doing for Jesus. But we're still doing nothing, right? Something has to happen. There comes a point in our lives where we and God fully connect. Because let's face it, even though we've got the Holy Spirit and we've got the opportunity to draw the power of God, many of us do not have that power in our lives. We're weak sometimes, and we're distracted sometimes, and we're thrown off sometimes. Let me show you this. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verses 31-33. Acts chapter 4, verses 31-33. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was what? Come on, say it with me. When he prayed, the place was what? There you go. Where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean they got more of the Holy Ghost. It means that the Holy Ghost got all of them. Through that prayer, they're saying, God, through this Holy Spirit, God, we want to shake. We want to roll. We want to see you do something. We need the power of God in our lives. When they became fully convinced that God had the power that they needed, something happened. They got power. They got power. Now they're able to do something. Now they're doing the job that God had called them to do. You can hear the power. You can see the power. Because they got connected to God. They allowed through that switch being turned on for God to do something great and powerful and mighty in their lives. And he did, and the place was shaken. Let me ask you. Is the power switch turned on in your life? When they had what? What's it say? When they had what? Come on, what's it say? When they had what? Come on, you got to help me. This week we're going to talk like this, okay? One more time. When they had what? Prayed. Very good. You mean it wasn't when they went to church? You mean it wasn't when they had the right clothes on and the right haircut? When they spoke the right language? It wasn't when they went to teen camp and played dodgeball. It wasn't when they gathered together as a mother's group and talked about how to be a better mother. No, when they prayed, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak in what? Let's go on and see. Look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which possessed was his own. And they all had all things in common. And with great what? Power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Do you know what they got? They got boldness. If we lack anything in Christianity today, it's boldness. You know how to lead people to Christ. You know that church is important. You know that people need the Savior. What keeps us from seeing that? Boldness. Boldness. I can go through this life, and I can know that people need Christ, and I can know that people need a need for the things of the Lord. But listen, if I don't connect to God with that power through prayer, nothing's going to happen. And some of you are trying, but you're just not bold enough to say, I've got to tell you the truth. You're missing something in your life. We talked to a waitress yesterday. There's something missing in your life. Here's what I see of Christianity today, and I'll close with this. They have opportunity to pray, but take little advantage. They know how to pray, but do not exercise that ability. They try to bypass God and do the work themselves. They try to connect with God, but refuse to receive his power, his answer. It's not until we connect to God through the power of the Holy Spirit and open to what God's will truly is that we see the performance of prayer. Leaving behind a life that is clean and ready for God and his will to be done. Church, do you want to see revival? We got to start praying. I mean praying. I mean tears. I'll mention later on, but when I was a kid, I saw a revival in my home church. In a town this size, our church ran 900 people in Canada. And my friends will attest to you that we're not a real outgoing people. I'm not a typical Canadian. People say all the time in Canada, you're from the States, right? And I'm saying, no, I'm Canadian. I'm a diehard Canadian. I love Canada. But you're too outgoing to be a Canadian. Too outspoken. I don't know what happened, but I got Christ, and I got excited. And it changed me. And I've seen people like these folks that are with us who came from a very staunch Catholic background and one from a very minimal church background, and we told them about Christ, and they got saved. I mean, they begin to talk to people, and they've seen people saved, and their girls are saved, and their daughter's married to a Baptist preacher, and their neighbor got saved, and their son became a preacher. Simply because we said, Lord, in this class, in this prenatal class, would you please give us somebody that we could share the gospel with that they might get saved? And who walks in but Pat and Dave Pipes? And if you've talked to Pat at all, you'll know she's not from Canada. She parks a car in the Harvard Yard, you know what I mean? She's from Boston, Bruins fan, Bobby Orr, number four, the greatest of all time. She comes to a foreign country. My wife, if you talk to her, you'll see she's not Canadian. She's from Cleveland, Ohio. She's an American. And those two American girls found each other. Oh, man, it was a sweet reunion. When they saw each other, I could almost hear the music. Oh, say, can you see? And being married for a while, we see the rocket's red glare, right, Dave? Amen? Bombs bursting in air. Let me say this. I want to apologize for our countrymen that have booed your national anthem. That's deplorable. That is unacceptable. We don't do that. That's not my Canada. That's a frustrated people. We apologize. I apologize. These two girls come together, and Dave and I, man, it's like we've been brothers our whole lives. He's a great guy. He's good looking like I am. Awesome. Talented. And we connected. Man, we talked about the ripple effect. They are part of the revivals that I've seen in my life. Two people, just two ordinary people that got excited and started telling people about Christ. Pat's a nurse, and she's been able to tell people in the hospital how to get saved on their deathbeds. It's incredible. But you got to connect. You got to have that power, and that only comes through that connection with God. You got to have that first. That's the prayer. And then when God gets that power coming back through us, and we turn that switch on, revival. Revival. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've seen and heard this morning. And may the service to follow and these this week do something in us that would allow us to see a spark of revival, that in a few weeks, a few months, we would hear that Eaton, Ohio is being overrun with Christianity and people are flocking to church and Christians are bold and giving the gospel like they've never done before. Help us to see that. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.